Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Kirk just giving a little disclaimer that it's kind of a weird short episode. Kyle was sick when we were recording, so I'm editing around that, and I was editing out some weird interference through the interwebs. I don't know how there was interference. It is the internet. But regardless, wanted to thank you for listening and apologize for the quality, but it's NYPD Blue, so if anything, you watch the episode, that's worth it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This week is season one.
This is episode 5 called E-Mission Accomplished.
E-Mission Accomplished. Another nailed it title.
Another nailed it title.
And this one opens with, I think, one of my favorite openings in season one, because it actually gives you the idea that they're going to pay attention to other characters.
They do, though.
Because this is the first one where it opens on James Martinez going in to visit his brother, who clearly, I didn't think he was necessarily a druggie right off the bat. I just thought he was, like, poor or, like, dumb, maybe.
Well, no, you can kind of tell he was a druggie because they made his eyes all fucked up and they made him really nervous. And that's how everyone who's a druggie in The Wire acts, so.
And James Martinez has a run-in with his brother and his brother's landlord.
Yeah. Well, his brother says that they're trying to kick everybody out. They, like, shut the water off. But at the same time, he thinks he sold his TV for drugs. So he doesn't really know what to believe.
But then when he meets the landlord, the landlord's racist. And he's clearly a little too hostile.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't. That doesn't make him think that it happened.
But it makes him suspicious.
Yeah, it makes him think, like, oh, this guy's a dick, but I don't think Martinez is like, oh, this is it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, what happens after that almost immediately? I know it has to be Kelly. It has to be something Kelly's doing. Oh, Kelly's ex-wife in this.
Oh, she's starting her new job.
Starts her new job with, it's not a district attorney.
She's a prosecutor.
Prosecuting, and basically, it shows that she's going to be, like, kind of under another guy. Kind of, like, starting. Yeah. She's not starting at the top in lawyerdom. She has to be somebody's assistant. And this,
well, it's a guy. Yeah, it's some guy that she went to school with. And she got him a job as, like, second chair prosecutor.
And they have to do this thing where they, like, it's almost like you have to buy in to possibly talk to a witness.
Yeah, you find out that witness
is Girardella.
Is Girardella, because he's selling everybody out.
Yeah, once it was sure that he was going to go for attempted murder on Andy Sipowicz, he just turned witness, but he's given out information on everybody.
Yes.
And it just so happens to be one of the things is a office that Kelly's wife goes into.
Well, from there, then they get a call that
they have a homicide at the building.
Well, no, you also have... Oh, okay, here's the third part of that story. Sorry, I just clicked in my head. I forgot his name. Is it Scartelli? But there's that
Stillwell
who
Stillwell
is kind of having a mental breakdown.
Yeah, Stillwell is losing all of his money gambling.
Stillwell.
And he's going through, like, this weird, insane...
So you meet Stillwell... The way you meet Stillwell, the desk sergeant's pissed off because Stillwell keeps going to the people who are in jail and asking what they want to eat. And then he never comes back, and it gets them all pissed off, and the Sarge has to deal with it. So the Sarge asks Kelly to take care of it.
And Kelly kind of talks to him, but it doesn't really... Basically, get the sense that...
Kelly and Andy take him to lunch to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
And they come to find out that he took his pension, gambled it on, or put it down on some land at New Mexico, and it ended up being bogus.
Yeah.
And he hadn't told his wife that he took the money or that it was bogus.
Yeah, so it's a dude without any money, and, like, he's just burying that by making these practical jokes that don't make any sense sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, he tells the waiter at the restaurant that it's Andy's birthday.
Yeah.
And he,
Andy's not happy about that.
but his whole story, and also this guy is, John, like, I think his name's Copadice. I can't say his name correctly. But he is also, he's a face, because he's been in a couple of things. He's in Ace Ventura, and he's been a character guy in a bunch of things. But, I mean, that's for the famous faces section. But his whole story comes to a head when he pays an actor to pretend to be a rape victim, but it's like a 40-year-old dude saying women abducted him and then jerked him off in a car.
I must have missed that part. Are you sure that they paid him?
Yes, because after he like rolls downstairs, after the actor like runs out of the building pretending to be upset.
Excuse me, Jesus, yeah.
Stillwell goes, "Oh man, I took out everything I had left higher in the guy. You should see your faces." But he's the only one laughing. Which creates kind of like a sad, horrifying situation where they're like, "Hey, let's take you to psych services," which I think he called the puzzle prison or something.
Puzzle palace.
And I don't know. So you take me to psych services, basically kind of like a walk.
But they're just showing you the real shit, like the realness of the what it's like to be a cop.
You gamble all your money and end up
shit happens, man.
Paying for stuck. Insane practical jokes.
Well, then Kelly Tippett's gonna call to Martinez's because Martinez tells the landlord that he's moving in. And he's basically, "I'm moving in, I'm not going to take any of your shit if you're really doing shit."
And they both know that each other are cops, because they have, like, kind of a dick-measuring contest.
Yeah, but Martinez still tells him that he's moving in, and there's going to be, like...
He's not taking the shit.
And shit. Well, then later on, Kelly and Sipowicz get called to that apartment building, because in the beginning, as Martinez is coming in, he says hello to an older gentleman, old black gentleman above.
Who hangs out on like an awning or like a railing of a staircase.
Yeah, in the stairwell. But he also kind of keeps track of his brother, kind of keeps an eye on him.
Uh-huh.
And that guy ends up being murdered. Or ends up falling through the stairwell. And then they look at like where the stairwell was, and it looks like it's been tampered with.
Some screws, some nails.
So Martinez freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, "That's it. I gotta do something about this guy. I wanna go into internal affairs and rat him out, basically."
And in this, because internal affairs becomes like a running thing with NYPD Blue, but I think first season they call it the IAD, the Internal Affairs Department.
And then it's in the IAB.
And then it's the IAB Bureau. It changes. I don't know what season, probably like two, but it's IAD, and basically. Kelly says that he has a friend in the IAD, and it's this bagpiper who apparently only takes meetings with his friends if he can do it.
Okay, how fucking, like, unnecessary was this guy? Like, this guy, like, his weird-ass, like, conversations, like, just, like, at the end when he's like, "I'm the best damn piper," and it's like, oh, or bagger, he says piper.
I was
like, "Jesus Christ, dude, like, bitter much? Like, fuck."
Well, you find
your
out...
Your story's so boring. Okay, so you ratted out on your friend. Like, get the fuck over it.
Like, Kelly...
You know that life. Like, I don't care.
Because, like, cops don't respect cops that rat on each other because they feel like they're the only people that actually look out for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tight-knit group. So being labeled as, like, a rat is a real thing, and, like, it's a real problem.
Even though the story that the reason Kelly's friend is at IAB is because, like, oh, this guy that, like, he ratted on was a total douche.
Yeah.
Like, stealing money from dead people. It's kind of like, why wouldn't that guy be praised for doing that when someone's an asshole? You know what I mean?
It's just like
the only profession where it's like, don't you dare tell them how big of dicks we really are.
It also speaks to this season. Like, I don't like this season as much because it doesn't highlight that good enough. Like, because the story is Kelly's friend used to be Kelly's really good friend. And then Kelly's really good friend early in his career made a decision to tell the truth. And it labeled him as a rat, which changed the entire trajectory of his
life.
And to highlight that because of that decision, his personal life is damaged. He is a bagpiper, and he can only play bagpipes. Is it a law in New York you can only play bagpipes if it's in a cemetery? Like, can you not play bagpipes anywhere else?
That's just a fucking weirdo. He's just a straight weirdo. Like, what I really, really like about NYPD Blue is, like, I feel all the characters bring it.
Yeah.
So, even the secondary characters, and that guy was just, like, a fucking dud. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, every time I see that episode come up and he gets on the screen, I just skip it. It's like, fuck it. I don't want to deal with this guy. He's the worst.
Also, he talks so, like, reptilian. He looks like a...
Yeah, right?
Like, he looks like
so
a...
fucking weird.
He looks like the Geico.
with a bagpipe. He's just like.
Everything I want to say is part of that story. You meet Luis Guzman.
Oh, who yes, plays you
James
do.
Martinez's father, and is a total asshole. Like, how shitty of a dad is this guy?
Because
he's your brother, you need to watch out for him. Me and mom don't have to do shit anymore. We know he's drug addicted. You fucking take care of
it. Well, I don't think it was that. I think they played it more of they don't believe he is a drug addict, and they just don't want to accept it. And then when James, like, theoretically the most successful, like, child in that family, because he's a cop, and he's a good cop and a good person, when he straight goes, hey, my brother is a drug addict. We need to take him to a rehabilitation hospital, because he has a real problem. They're like, his dad's like, no, I don't agree with that. Which is like, what do you mean you don't agree with that? It's something we have to do.
Didn't he put him in a drug thing at the end, and his dad was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Blah, blah, blah. That's the thing. Like, he's
I'm a shitty father.
That's another famous face. Fucking Luis Guzman, star
Luis
of...
Luis Guzman was in it, yeah.
Star and of Boogie Night.
So, what ends up happening is, Kelly talks to his friend then ends up getting involved, and James is like, I'm gonna wear a wire.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout the whole thing, this old landlord guy keeps talking to Kelly about his dead dad. And like, oh, we're like buddies. We ran through doors and shit. And Kelly's like, my dad would never fucking stand up with this guy. This guy's a dildo. So then Kelly's like, let me talk to him. He wants to have a drink with me. So Kelly goes in, talks to him, and basically gets the guy to like admit to it and bribes him with money. And then Kelly comes out and he has a wire on. And
yeah.
He's the one that took the hit for the kid. Since James is a new cop.
Because there is a stigma with being a guy who rats out other cops. So James basically, by saying, I'll wear a wire, is kind of saying, I'll be on the same path as that, like, gecko bagpiper. Like, I'll be the guy nobody wants to hang out with to get this
fucking,
dude.
Fucking weirdo McGee.
Like, but John Kelly goes, you know what? If I do this, I have enough clout around here that I could take the heat of maybe ratting out on a cop. And then I'll be fine. But James, he'll be straight, like, massacred by everybody's thugs.
Yeah,
so, of course, right after Kelly does it, Medavoy, Kyle's favorite character.
This is one of my favorite scenes. This is where you kind of get the dynamic that Medavoy's a bitch whenever Andy steps up to him.
Because Medavoy basically says, hey, John, is there anything you could tell us to make it okay that you did this, kind of? Is there anything
Yeah, which I think is... He said it very politely, but in a ballsy way, which I give him credit for.
Yeah.
Because he was very not an asshole, because he's like, hey, John, I just want to... What am I trying to say? I think Andy jumps the gun.
Yeah, he does, because Andy's very excitable.
Give him a hard time, because Medavoy, I don't think, is trying to be malice about it.
Yeah.
He's just trying to get an answer, because, you know, he's from the old way and shit.
And also, he didn't, like, right after Andy jumps on him, Medavoy is trying to backtrack and say, that's not what I'm saying, Andy. Like, I don't want to, I'm not saying he has to explain himself. I'm saying I just want to understand what's happening.
But, yeah, and he starts stuttering like a little bitch.
But it's also funny, it's so funny to see a young Medavoy. We watched the last season, Medavoy looks old as shit.
Haggard as fuck, huh?
So then when you see him in this, he has, like, his full head, like, full hair. And, like, his skin is a little more straight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's not, like, he doesn't have that, like, weird man pouch.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Weird man pouch. But
you know what I'm talking about.
But I love, I want to talk about the bagpiper so much.
I fucking hate that guy. That guy was the biggest waste of time.
Because, like, the end of the episode is him. And he has like the moment that he was excited for as an actor, where he gets to emote and let the audience know his strife. And he says, I'm the best damn piper in this department and nobody will invite me to play. Dude, like, you can't play bagpipes anywhere else. Like, there's nowhere else to play bagpipes.
First of all, fuck you and your bagpipes. Like, get in the now. Like, get
the
over
now
it.
Of ni- the now of ni-
bagpipes, dude.
The now of 1993, you mean?
I don't know. Were bagpipes cool in 93?
Like, bagpipes were all the rage. It was
everyone just like, let me get on them pipes, yo.
You remember when, like, those rappers in the early 90s, they were throwing bagpipes into their songs?
Oh, yeah, I remember when everybody was just sitting around their lockers playing the bagpipes together.
We went over the plot really quickly with this one, because it's very straightforward. They find out landlord's an asshole. Kelly goes under the wire so James doesn't have to. The guy's racist.
It's not one of my favorite episodes. It's kind of boring to me.
And it's also not very Sipowitz-filled. There's not a lot of Sipowitz in it.
Yeah, not a lot. Maybe that's why it's boring.
And, but the, what are the, like, the thing I wrote down in my notes when I watched it a long time ago was, why is Hanlon's the shitty landlord.
Shitty guy.
Why is Hanlon's apartment so fucking dark? Do you remember how dark it was that scene?
He's a weird old man.
Like,
all people do a lot of weird shit.
Like, there was like maybe one light in his entire place on, and the rest was like dark paint, darkness.
Yeah, it's not my favorite episode.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's a forgettable one for me. It's one I skip if it comes on.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of more things to talk about, but it's kind of hard.
It's alright. There wasn't really any good Sipowitz lines either, you know?
Yeah, the only thing that, like, was Sipowitz related was, like, when he kind of, Sipowitz went off on Medavoy for talking about it, but I can't remember any specific lines, because it was so quick, and...
Yeah, and it wasn't memorable. There was nothing funny said in it, really.
Yeah, it really isn't.
It's alright. The game will be winners.
They can't all be winners.
It's not the battle, it's the whole war when it comes to the series, you know? The whole series is good.
It's true. It's very true. The scene with Hanlon and Kelly, it's so funny because it starts out like John Kelly is going to go into the belly of the beast. He's going to figure out how this dude...
Yeah, he's like fucking Rambo. He's like he's like baby Rambo. Like, not as much guns, but he's going to go in there and fix fucking everything.
And he goes in...
The fucking dildo.
And, like, the first three things that Hanlon says is so racist. So quickly. To establish what a piece of shit he is.
My favorite thing, sorry, before I forget, about this whole episode is that, like, at least we're not involved in his fucking love life.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't really do much in this
one. Yeah, it kind of takes a back seat this episode, which is nice, because, goddamn it, who gives a shit?
We don't have to see LaCalcy... Or his wife just getting back on that horse, even though he just left the other one.
Bro, don't worry. It gets fucking weird. Like it always does.
It always, yeah. I mean, when John Kelly's involved, you best bet there's going to be ladies looking for that Kelly, I guess.
Looking for that orange.
Oh, it's so gross. It's also, like, I mean, I've said it before. It's a dumb complaint. But watching this in high definition makes his skin look super white and his hair look super red.
It's gross, dude.
He looks like he looks like an animated character.
Anime, you're fucked up, dude.
So,
you're fucked up, dude.
The guy who played Hanlon was a gentleman named Mitchell Ryan, and I don't know exactly what
Mitchell Ryan?
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He's a good character actor.
Bunch of weird stuff. Wow, this is a really boring one.
It's not our fault. I think we can blame writer Ted Mann for that.
Ted Mann called it early that day.
Ted Mann, I think, wrote some Deadwood episodes, though, so...
Maybe he just phoned this one in. He's like, guys, we got 22 episodes.
Maybe.
We got 20-something. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't really have much for this episode. It's not one of my favorites at all.
Well, it's all right. It's a weekly show where we go over every episode. Every episode can't be great. So thank you for listening.
Blame Bagpipe Guy.
That's the thing. # Bagpipe Gecko. That's... If I titled these anything other than the title of the episode, it would just be # Bagpipe Gecko. Because what the fuck?
Bagpipe Gecko. Dude, what was his name again?
Oh, man, let me look it up. This character.
What was his name on the show?
His character's name?
Yeah.
Let's find out. He's not credited as Bagpipe Gecko, though. That's the problem.
It's not Jack Hanlon.
No.
It's not, well, is it Kevin Sullivan?
It might be Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, I think it is.
John Boop Bogler?
Yeah, because he calls him Kevin. I was trying to see what else this guy was in. Not really much, not anything else, really. He was in a movie with Steve Buscemi called Parting Glances.
And he was in Zootopia as a gecko.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Go fuck yourself. No way.
In a related note, go see Zootopia. It's really awesome.
Yeah, did anyone doubt it was going to be awesome?
You know what? Blame it on the gecko. This has been Kirk, and Kyle's the one that sounds like he's in a well, according to our dad.
I'm not in a well. Whatever. He's in a well.
If you're interested in the show, follow Asher Brothers Podcast on Twitter, Asher Bros Pod.
Yeah, and...
Or go to AsherBrothersPodcast.com to see every episode of this and the other show that we do. I'm Kirk Has Glasses on Twitter, if you wanted to see me. Kyle is on Twitter, but I don't know his name, and he doesn't really use it that much.
Oh, I'm on Twitter, but I don't think I've used it in the last 3-5 years.
So, it doesn't matter if you try to find his name. Anyway, that's been Blue Balls. Well, we could talk... You know what? I'll just say this. It has an awesome title.
It does have an awesome title. It's one of the better puns.
Emission accomplished.
I mean, the next one's called Personal Foul. I mean, that's kind of like lazy.
It is pretty lazy.
Tempest in a C cup. Oscar Mayer Wiener. From Here to Eternity.
NYPD Lou, dude.
Lou. Jumpin' Jack Fleshman. Get it?